Injured in a car accident? It's about money. Your money. Your settlement. We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery? You pay no fees or costs. We strive to get you more at LawyerUp 904, Jacksonville.
Kick off the weekend with football. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday night on 1010XL.
Welcome in, Jacksonville. It is Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday night. It is great to have you with us wherever you're listening. Andrew Gibson here with you tonight as your host each and every Friday for JOI Football Friday night. It's your comprehensive pregame coverage of high school football here in Northeast Florida. And man, we have got several tremendous playoff matchups tonight. The atmospheres are going to be unmatched everywhere we have games tonight. It's round two of the playoffs. It's the regional semifinals here in Northeast Florida. Glad that you are along with us. Let's set the table for what's coming up here tonight. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear from Creekside head coach Sean McIntyre. They had a huge victory going into the Panhandle last Friday night and beating Navarre. As Coach McIntyre will join us in about a minute or so, he's got a huge game tonight as Creekside gets a rematch with Bartram Trail. And it's going to be a monster game tonight in St. John's County. These two programs have never met in the playoffs, Creekside and Bartram Trail, and they will do so tonight. It's a rematch of a game that happened on October 14th, where Bartram Trail got the better of Creekside. They get to redo it tonight, and this time it's in a playoff setting. Over at Bartram Trail, kickoff is coming up at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. So we will hear from Sean McIntyre, the head coach of the Knights. Hacker's going to join me for two segments tonight. We'll have reaction to round one, and then we'll look ahead to round two tonight. Trinity Christian, head coach of Erland Dorminey, is going to be along. They had a bye last week, but tonight they get on the field and they host Orlando Christian Prep. Trinity Christian begins their march to the playoffs tonight at 7:30. And then Tony Smith is going to check in about 10 minutes past 7 as the Bulls Bulldogs, they continue to move on as they will host tonight a playoff game in round number 2 against Bishop Moore. That's the team that knocked out Bishop Kinney a week ago. Right now, let's welcome in on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Sean McIntyre is the head coach of the Creekside Knights, and they had a 47-20 road victory at Navarre in the Panhandle last Friday night. Coach, welcome in. That was a very impressive win that you guys had at Navarre. Tell us about the game. Tell us about the trip.
Yeah, you know, we've been pretty accustomed to taking 2.5-hour road trips. We've gone to Orlando several times recently, and the trip to Georgia is about 2 hours. And so we've been kind of accustomed to that. So we basically broke it down into two-hour trips. Two and a half hour trips. And we did a stop and walk through at FSU. It was awesome for them to open their facility up. We got to be in the indoor practice field and did a long walk through, got our kids off the bus for about 2 hours, ate lunch there and did some things. Then we got back on the bus and drove over to the Panhandle and ate pregame meal and then got back on the bus and had about a 20-minute drive to the school. And our kids were really locked in and really focused. We're a pretty mature football team. And just our kids had a great week of practice last week, executed really well on Friday night. Just really proud of the way that they didn't let, you know, the bus trip, didn't let the atmosphere or anything like that impact them in the way that they played and executed during the game. It was awesome and fun to watch and be a part of.
Tell us about the on-field matchup against Navarre. How did you guys get this one done?
You know, we knew they were a good football team, and they were a good football team. And, you know, they were 8-2, and the two teams they lost to were a combined 19-1. So we were eight and two at that point, and the two teams we lost to were 18-2. So we felt pretty good actually about our matchup, because the teams they had played in the Panhandle don't have the propensity or ability to throw it the way that we do. And so by us stressing them a little bit, we were able to stretch them vertically and then take advantage of being efficient in the quick passing game. And, you know, we were able to move the ball. We scored 10 points in the first quarter and then scored immediately to start the second quarter, and we're up 17-0 and just moving the ball really well. And we've kind of turned the tides on defense a little bit. We were playing very poor in the middle of the season, just not the way that we've played defense here the last few years. And our kids, you know, it's not like we're doing anything different. Our kids are just refocusing on the fundamentals and the effort that we play with and the physicality that we play with on defense. And they were having trouble running the ball on us. And They started throwing it a little bit, and that's when they had some success. But, you know, when you make a team one-dimensional, you can have some answers for them in the back end.
After winning a playoff game on the road like that, a trip to the Panhandle, what was the trip home like after that win?
It was awesome for about the first 30 minutes, and then everybody got tired and people were sleeping, and we pulled into school about 6 a.m. on Saturday, and our kids honestly were feeling that lingering effect into Monday. We really emphasized and stressed them going home and getting sleep and rest this weekend. And then obviously after practice Monday and Tuesday, because they, you know, when you lose a night of sleep like that and you're just on a bus and it just is tough. Your whole sleep cycle's messed up. So we were really stressing that with our kids to be mature, to have time management this week and make sure that they're getting their legs back and their body back, because, you know, the first 30 minutes of that bus drive was awesome, but then, you know, it got long after that for sure.
Creekside head coach Sean McIntyre with us on the Farrah and Farrah phone line on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute football Friday night. The Knights went into the Panhandle and came away with a victory 47-20 last Friday night in the first round of the playoffs against Navarre. And that sets up an epic matchup, Creekside and Bartram Trail. Help me with this, Coach. Have Creekside and Bartram ever faced each other in football in the playoffs?
They have never played. We have never competed with each other in any state series. Never.
Wow, that is crazy. I mean, it cannot be understated the magnitude of this game for your school, for Bartram Trail, for St. John's County tonight.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great environment when you have kids who grew up together. Like if you go out to the Creeks Outlaws Little League and you walk in their field house and you look at the banners of the championship teams, like half the banner is kids who play at Creekside and the other half is kids who play at Bartram. So these are kids who are very familiar with each other, communities and families that are very familiar with each other. And, you know, it means a lot to some people, and it's a great, great environment. I mean, it's going to be one of the best high school environments in the state of Florida. At any capacity, at any point, it's going to be awesome Friday night for sure.
And, Coach, this is a rematch from the regular season, October 14th. Bartram Trail won the first meeting 59-27. What can you take away from that first matchup?
Just take away that they're a really good football team. That's pretty apparent. We take pride in playing defense here, and they exposed us on defense in that game. They had some stuff, some new wrinkles for us, and we anticipate that going forward into this week. So just trying to make sure our kids are playing fundamental physical defense. And then on offense, you know, we got behind a little bit. And one thing we haven't done all year is press. We've always just kind of taken what has been given to us and been very efficient. So we started to press a little bit when we got behind in the game. And then that caused things to kind of deteriorate even quicker on us. And so just making sure that we don't press on offense and understand it's about one play at a time. Just do your job on that play and let's move on to the next play. So just trying to make sure that we're ready to play on defense, and then on offense, just take what's given to us and move the chains and keep the ball in our possession and go from there.
As coaches, as a staff, as players, do you put anything extra into this one, knowing that it's a familiar opponent that got you in the regular season? Now it's a huge playoff game. Anything extra going into this one for you guys?
I don't think there's really anything extra from our school. I mean, our coaching staff, at least. You know, the kids are obviously really attentive this week. So getting their focus and getting their attention has been really easy just because of the familiarity between the programs and everything like that. So from a coaching staff standpoint, we're trying to take all the pressure off the kids and put all the pressure on us and inform them, hey, listen, if things go bad, it's on me. If things go good, it's on you. And so just making sure that they don't feel any pressure, that they have to do anything special. You don't want your team to press. And that's what we did in our first matchup. And just trying to make them play loose, get them to play loose and be ready to play the best of their ability. That's my goal every week. If we play the best we can and we lose, so be it. That's the way high school football goes sometimes. If we play the best we can play, I like where we're at.
Tell me about some Knights on your team that are playing good football. You guys are 9-2. You're in the second round of the playoffs. There's been a lot of good football being played at Creekside. Who's standing out right now for you, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we have kind of, if you're a defensive coordinator getting ready for us, it's got to be pretty difficult because we have a two quarterback system, you know, and the fact of that Wilson Edwards and Sean Ashenfelder are both playing at a really, really high level right now. They're both very efficient with the football. They both have a little bit different skill set and what they bring to the table. And we have a little bit of wrinkles for both of them. So, you know, you're kind of a little bit preparing for two things defensively for who's in the game, which I think gives us a little bit of advantage. And then, you know, on defense, we have really three seniors who are kind of been a part of that change from us midseason to now, and that's safety Anthony Akel, and then senior linebackers Nathan Hernandez and Ian Mooney. Those three guys have kind of brought the group together and said, hey, this isn't good enough. This isn't what our standard is. This isn't how we play, and have really led the charge and driven great effort at practice and making sure everybody does the same. So really proud of those five guys. We've had contributions by everybody. Nicky Williams has had over 150 yards the last 2 weeks. Offensive line has been playing great. We haven't had any drops. So just things like that. I mean, everybody's playing unbelievably well right now, and just proud of how they're executing on a play-by-play basis.
Coach, this is going to be a tremendous atmosphere for high school football. It's the second round of the playoffs. It's Creekside. It's Bartram Trail. Take us into that huddle tonight. What are you going to try to stress to these guys in preparation for this playoff game on the road tonight at Bartram Trail?
Just play for each other. This group is very – one of our foundations is caring, and our definition of caring in our program is what are you willing to do for other people? That's how you show caring, not that you say you care about somebody, but what are you willing to do? And our group is extremely well connected, and I think that has been a big part of our success this year is how tight these guys are. They're together in the hallways. They're together in the locker room. They're together a lot, and they genuinely enjoy each other's company, and they genuinely enjoy each other. And so when you have a team like that, they're willing to lay it on the line. You just remind them, hey, man, this is bigger than you. This is bigger than us. It's for all of us right here and things that you've been through together. So that's what it's going to be about, just playing for each other, having fun, enjoying this moment. You know, not many kids get to play in an atmosphere like we're going to play in Friday night and just enjoying that. I mean, I want them to have fun. I want them to play loose. I don't want them to be tight, and I want them to play for each other. So that'll be my message to them Friday.
Awesome stuff. I love it. Coach Sean McIntyre of the Creekside Knights. They go to Bartram Trail tonight, kickoff at 7 o'clock. In the second round of the playoffs. Coach, best of luck. We always appreciate your time.
Yep, I appreciate you, Andrew. If you need anything, let me know.
Sean McIntyre, the head coach of Creekside. What a big one they have tonight in St. John's County. A rematch against their rival Bartram Trail comes up at the top of the hour, and that is going to be a tremendous ball game tonight. We've got much more coming here on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. Coming up next, Ryan the Hacker Green. You've heard him a little bit today with Rick Ballew. He rejoins me coming up next as we look back at round one last week and look ahead to round two tonight. That's next on JOI Football Friday Night.
This is Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Rehabilitation Football Friday Night on 1010XL.
Welcome back to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. Andrew Gibson joined, as always, each and every Friday by our friend Ryan the Hacker Green. Catching weeknights here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Hacker After Dark. We have now made it to round two of the playoffs. Hack, how are you?
Gibby, I'm good, man. What a night tonight's going to be. Some unbelievable rematches from regular season games. And, boy, if you're still playing football tonight, you've already had a terrific year. But obviously, Gibby, everybody that's left playing wants to continue playing into next week.
No doubt about it. Let's go back to week one, round one of the playoffs from last week, and just give a couple thoughts on the games from round one. What an upset it was, an 8 seed over a 1 last Friday night. Riverside 20, Jackson 13. That was a huge upset for Riverside.
Yeah, it was. And keep in mind, this was a regular season game that Jackson survived 6-2. I know you and I talked about that leading into that game last week. Give Riverside an unbelievable amount of credit to go on the road into a tough environment there at Jackson High School against one of the best teams in the area this year and to come out with a win. Boy, tip your cap to head coach Antoine Nicholas and Riverside for what they have done in beating Jackson. Unfortunate end of the season for Jackson. They had 8 wins in a row. They dropped their regular season finale to First Coast and then obviously are very disappointed what happened in the first round last week against Riverside. So that's the bad part of the equation. The good part for the Riverside point of view, what a victory, and now they have an unbelievable opportunity again tonight as they play another Duval County Public School there in the graveyard against Reigns.
unbelievable win for Riverside last week as they move on to round two of the playoffs. Other scores from last week, Bartram Trail 50, Flagler Palm Coast 20. Bartram Trail, if you remember, went down 14-0 to Flagler Palm Coast, and then they just outscored them the rest of the game, putting up 50 points in the ballgame.
Yeah, I thought that showed a lot. This Flagler Palm Coast team had said 4-6. They weren't 4-6. They were 7-3, but because of an ineligible player, they had to forfeit three games. So you fall behind to a team that won 70% of their games, 14-0 in the playoffs, win or go home scenario, Gibby. You know this, man. Panic could set in, the quicksand effect. You try to do things you're not supposed to do and you sink even deeper. That did not happen to Bartram Trail. They continued to play their style of game, continued to dictate the tempo, and 14-0 became 50-14 very quickly. Ultimately, they win the game 50-20. Another dominating performance by Darrell Sutherland and his football team.
The one seed Bartram Trail moves on. The four seed Creekside went into Navarre in the Panhandle and won this game 47-20.
Yeah, I don't think people fully understand. I think high school fans might, but the casual sports fan, to get 100 players on two or three different buses on a Friday morning, go 5.5 hours down Interstate 10 to the Panhandle, play an 8-win Navarre team on their home field, and to beat them by 27, that just doesn't happen very often. What a performance by Creekside in that situation on the road, that long of a road trip, and to come and put forth an effort like that. Phenomenal, phenomenal win for head coach Sean McIntyre and Creekside. They're now 9-2 on the year. And my goodness, do they have a big one tonight there in St. Johns County.
We'll get to that in just a second. Bartram Trail and Creekside meet tonight in round two. It's going to be epic down there in St. Johns County tonight. But let's once again relive some of the week one playoff games last week. Elsewhere, Escambia beats Middleburg 42-18. That was a tough trip for Middleburg as their season ends.
Yeah, the Middleburg, though, I mean, good season for them. To start out 0-4 and to win all those games in the middle to the end part of the season to get into the playoffs, they were the last team in Clay County standing, the only team in Clay County that advanced to the postseason, so they have that on their resume moving forward. And look, Pensacola-Escambia is very good. And Middleburg went out there, put forth a decent effort. At the end of the day, it wasn't enough. But again, Ryan Wolf and that staff out there at Middleburg, the Broncos played very well this year. They have nothing to be upset about.
St. Augustine went back and forth, ultimately fell to Choctaw 42-35.
Yeah, this was tough because St. Augustine was up big in this game. I want to say it was 28-6 at home. And to lose a game where the team comes from behind and beats you, I haven't had a chance to talk to Brian Braddock or anybody down there, but I can imagine it was a tough week for them because St. Augustine wins postseason home football games. It's what they do, particularly when they build a lead like that. And to have that lead evaporate and to lose a game and ultimately your season comes to an end as a result of losing a lead like that, I imagine that's pretty tough for the Yellow Jackets.
The Bradford Tornadoes, they just play incredible defense. They continue to do so in the playoffs. 48-0, another shutout for Bradford. They get this one over Crescent City.
Yeah, Crescent City was a district champion, but it was one of those districts where somebody had to win the district, basically. It wasn't a great district. And Bradford, give credit to them. They did what they needed to do, dominating performance. I'm sure got some young guys in there towards the second half. It gets considerably harder for Bradford beginning tonight with Gainesville Eastside. And then if Bradford were to win that, they would get the winner of Baker County and Baldwin, a game we'll talk about here in a little bit. So it's going to get harder, but no question. Bradford, after losing their season finale against Suwannee, you wonder how they would respond. Well, a 48-0 victory in round one of the playoffs. Gibby, that's a pretty good response.
The Fighting Dillon Denmarks got it done in round one. Baldwin 29, Palatka 12.
Yeah, the thing with this game is Baker County played on Friday night. The Baldwin game was Saturday, so Baldwin knew if they beat Palatka, they would set up a rematch with Baker County. For people that don't know, that is an enormous rivalry. And earlier this year, Baldwin, for the first time in 50 years, beat Baker County in football. So I was curious with Baldwin knowing what was ahead of them, all they had to do was get through Palatka, was there going to be a look-ahead effect? Was there going to be a think more about Baker County and not as much about Palatka? To Baldwin's credit, to Rob Shields, the head coach, and their credit, that did not happen. They were the better football team the entire night. Palatka put forth a good effort, but ultimately it wasn't enough. And just like in St. John's County with Creekside and Bartram, the rematch we have tonight between Baker County and Baldwin is going to be must-watch high school football.
Yeah, it's going to be maximum crowd. You can imagine that. As Baker County, as you alluded to, they did win over Yulee 16-6.
Yeah, defensive battle. And look, we're going to talk more about Baker County. I want to spend one moment on Yulee and head coach Kyle Doherty. It would have been very easy for the Yulee Hornets to mail it in after losing three games in the middle of their year in really devastating ways. All these games were decided with basically 2 minutes to go. They lost to Baldwin. They lost to Baker County. They lost to Episcopal. When you lose three heartbreakers like that, you wonder how the kids are going to respond. Well, they beat West Nassau, and they beat Fernandina Beach, and they beat Menendez to get in. They go to Baker County and put forth a really good performance. 16-6 against that Baker County team, that is nothing to hang your heads on. So congrats to Yulee on a great year. But obviously, to the victors go the spoils. Baker County's defense was dominating. And Baker County, I went down there for Hackers High School football tour, one of our episodes this year. They love another shot at Baldwin. They were hoping to get another shot at Baldwin after that loss earlier this year. They have that next shot at Baldwin tonight, and I'm sure they're looking forward to it.
A few more final scores from last week, then we'll take a break and look at tonight's matchups. There were a couple games that were not close, unfortunately, for our local area teams. Orlando Edgewater 57-6 over First Coast. Tampa Bay Tech comes to the beach and beats Fletcher 34-3.
Yeah, I talked to Justin Barney from Channel 4 about this earlier this week, and I don't know what can be done about it necessarily, but you look at that's 3M, right? The classification, yeah. 3 Metro. We'll talk about Mandarin in a little bit, 4 Metro. In Duval County, our big classifications, our big public schools, 1-0-3. And when you're in the Metro classification, you're playing Orlando, you're playing Tampa in round one, and there's no sugarcoating it, Gibby. Orlando and Tampa got over on Jacksonville here in round one when it came to Duval County public schools. So hopefully that changes in the next year or two, but clearly it was not a great opening round. Look, First Coast got in by beating Jackson, and congrats to the Buccaneers for getting in. That Orlando Edgewater team is ranked in the top 40, I believe, in the country. They're an unbelievable football team, so you kind of knew what was going on there. I didn't know much about Tampa Bay Tech. My goodness. To take a 4.5-hour bus ride to come up to Jacksonville Beach and put it on Fletcher 34-3, whoa. That is a good Tampa Bay Tech football team. Certainly not the way either First Coast or Fletcher wanted their year to end.
You mentioned Mandarin a second ago. This was 4M Region 1. What a game that was on Monday night. That game got moved a couple times because of the storm. It was a 6:30 start on Monday. 30-28, they took Seminole out of Sanford to the wire.
I'll give Mandarin head coach Toby Bullock an unbelievable amount of credit. They were the 8 seed at 5-5, playing a Seminole team that was the 1 seed at 8-2, clearly everybody, myself included, thought Seminole was going to win this game relatively easily, and that did not happen. Those Mandarin kids came out to play. The corral was rocking out there on Greenland Road, and it's unfortunate they lost in the fashion that they did. It goes back to that old thing, would you rather lose by 30 or lose in the final minute? They're both awful. But, boy, for Mandarin to battle and to claw and to fight the way they did against a really good Seminole team, kudos to them. It's just very unfortunate that it had to end that way like it did in the fourth quarter.
Three final games from last week that we'll look back. Bishop Kenny's season ends. They lose to Bishop Moore out of Orlando 28-7. Bowles moves on 38-6 over Episcopal. Raines gets by Ed White 34-22.
Yeah, Raines, good win. Obviously, we talked about that. 2-7-2 teams last week with Raines and Ed White. Unfortunately, one season had to come to an end. It was Ed White, but give Raines credit going into Ed White High School on the road to win that game. And now all of a sudden, Raines finds himself as a 5 seed at home tonight in the graveyard, taking on an 8 seed in Riverside. Bowles was dominant after beating Gainesville Buchholz in the regular season finale. They kept that going in a big win over Episcopal. Although Marcus Wells and Episcopal, a great year for them. They won, what, 8 football games this year. So a terrific year comes to an end at Episcopal. And Gibby, you tell me, man, you were on the call for the final couple Bishop Kenny games. I was stunned. I didn't know much about Bishop Moore. You and I talked about it I think three of their seven wins came against teams that were 0-9 or 0-10. And for Bishop Moore to come into Bishop Kenny from Orlando and win by three touchdowns, that to me, other than Riverside Jackson, was probably the biggest surprise of the weekend.
It was a surprise because I didn't think Bishop Kenny's defense would let them, certainly at home, have that game get away. And it really did, because it was like a 7-0 game in the third quarter. And then ultimately, Bishop Moore scores 28 points in the latter stages of that game and pulls away at the end. But look, disappointing finish, but what a terrific season for Coach Tim Krause. They went 8-2. Keep in mind, Bishop Kenny just a couple of years ago had one win, and now they've really turned this thing around. So a disappointing, a bitter end to their season, but a good season nevertheless for Bishop Kenny.
And, you know, you talk about signature moments, things will be remembered. You know, maybe 5 years from now, you won't remember Bishop Kenny lost in round one in 2022. You're going to remember that win over Bowles.
Yeah.
And you're going to remember that district championship, and you're going to remember beating Bowles for the first time in forever to win a district championship. It's probably not easy for Bishop Kenny right now. I'm sure they're not happy the way things went down, but enough time will pass, and you'll look back and realize what you accomplished this year. I agree, a terrific year for Tim Krause and Bishop Kenny.
Well, it's something we missed out on. We were wanting, most of us were wanting, that Bowles-Bishop Kenny rematch. It would have happened
because
Bowles moved on, but Bowles will get Bishop Moore now tonight. And on that note, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll break down all the round two matchups. That's coming up next on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. Welcome back to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night, our second segment with Ryan the Hacker Green. Catch him weeknights on Hacker After Dark here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Hack, we spent last segment on what happened in round one. Let's now preview round number two. And, man, what an awesome matchup this is going to be. Just what an environment it'll be tonight over at Bartram Trail. 11-0 Bartram Trail is hosting 9-2 Creekside. First time ever these two teams have met in football in the playoffs.
Yeah, I go back to like the Brandon James, St. Augustine teams against the Tim Tebow, Nice teams. Obviously, there's been a few since then as well. But this is one of the biggest games in St. Johns County high school football we've seen in 15, 20 years. I mean, you're talking about two ridiculously good teams, combined records of 20 wins and 2 losses. Bartram Trail at 11-0, Creekside at 9-2. One of those losses was to Bartram Trail, and whoever wins this game will be in the final eight in the class 4S state playoffs. And oh, by the way, they'll be the last team standing in St. Johns County when all is said and done tonight. So, an unbelievable game. Now, hopefully, it is an unbelievable game, because Gibby, you and I, what, about a month and a half ago, were sitting right here. And we thought that Bartram Creekside regular season game was going to be unreal. It was at Creekside. Bartram won that thing 59-27. And people that were there will tell you that it probably wasn't even that close. So, what did Creekside learn from that game that they can put forth tonight? I'll tell you one thing Creekside has done. They have not lost since that Bartram Trail game. And you're talking wins over Oakleaf. You're talking wins over Fleming Island, Pontevedra, Navarre. I mean, some good teams that Creekside has knocked off, unbeaten since their loss to Bartram. But my goodness, what a game tonight in St. Johns County.
It's going to be unbelievable. The atmosphere is going to be unmatched. And like we said last time when these two teams met on October 14th, you better get there early because there will not be parking at this game tonight.
Well, and the thing, you know, you're right about that. And the thing, too, remember the streak St. Augustine had over Bartram?
Oh, yeah.
St. Augustine won like 19 or 20 games in a row. It was ridiculous. Well, Bartram's won 14 out of 15, I believe, is the number over Creekside. In the 15-year history of Creekside High School, they've only beaten Bartram once. Boy, they'd like to get number two tonight. Tonight would be the biggest win in Creekside High School football history if they were to get it done tonight. Having said that, you need to start considering, to me, Bartram Trail, Gibby, is a team that might be seriously in the running for a state championship run. With what they've done, now there are some terrific teams down south, and they're going to have to deal with the likes of Venice and Kissimmee Osceola if they keep winning. And again, it's a big test tonight against Creekside. Gainesville-Buholt still in the mix as well. But Bartram has been phenomenal. Creekside has been very, very good. Something's got to give tonight. And I know this, it'll be a lot of fun out there in St. Johns County one way or another tonight.
an epic matchup. Creekside is 9-2. Bartram Trail is 11-0. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff coming up tonight over at Bartram Trail in St. Johns County. Other round two matchups here tonight in the high school football playoffs in Northeast Florida. Gainesville Eastside goes to Bradford. Eastside is 8-2, Bradford 10-1.
Yeah, Eastside's gotten a lot better. It's funny, they've gotten a lot better since Anthony Richardson left. Go figure.
That's odd.
It is very odd. Anthony Richardson was there, and they weren't very good, and now all of a sudden Anthony Richardson leaves, and they're in the final 16 of their classification in the state of Florida. Tough putt tonight for Gainesville Eastside, a very tough putt. We talked about earlier how good Bradford County is. They look like they're on a mission. Now, they got some injury concerns piling up, but nevertheless, Bradford tonight should win the game, which would set up a really interesting scenario next week, taking on the winner of Baker County and Baldwin.
And that's the next game we're going to get to. Baker County is 8-3, Baldwin 9-2. This game in round two of the playoffs is at Baldwin.
So here's my thought. You've played high school football. You've covered high school football in our area now for many years. You kind of knew, right, a month and a half ago when Baldwin beat Baker County, that you need to celebrate. Obviously, it's the first time you beat them in five-plus decades, and Baldwin did celebrate. They took me up on that advice. But didn't you kind of know that at some point Baldwin was likely to see Baker County again?
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to beat a team twice. Having said that, Baldwin is really, really good. And Rob Shields and that staff have done a terrific job. I know they are very confident again going into this game against Baker County. They don't think it was a fluke what happened a month and a half ago. The one thing I will say in meeting with people down at Baker County for Hackers High School football tour, it was the game week where they were getting ready to play Jackson. Key game against Jackson. It was about a month ago now. A lot of people were talking to me about Baldwin and not Jackson and about trying to see Baldwin again in the postseason. They watched that Baldwin celebration. They hope they got another opportunity. It is at Baldwin High School. What an atmosphere it's going to be. And I have people telling me, Gibby, people we know, including our guy Denmark, but other Baldwin alums as well, they're using terms like the biggest football game in Baldwin High School football history is tonight, with the rivalry, with the playoff implications. It's really what high school football is all about.
It really is, and I can't wait to see how this one turns out. Baldwin hosting Baker County tonight in round two of the playoffs. That is going to be another unbelievable atmosphere. And so many of these games are rematches. You know these teams are ready for the rematches, especially come playoff time. Let's look at this one as well. It's already underway in the first quarter. Raines is hosting Riverside. Riverside had the huge upset of Jackson last week. Raines beat Ed White.
You don't see a lot of 5-8 matchups in any sport in the second round. An 8-1 when Riverside beat Jackson. A 5-4 last week when Raines beat Ed White. So now the 5-seed in Raines is at home tonight in the graveyard taking on Riverside. What an opportunity for both teams. The winner of tonight's game will advance to the final eight in the 2M classification in the state of Florida. And the winner will get probably bowls, dare I say, unless Bishop Moore can come into Jacksonville again and pull off another win like they did last week. Boy, it doesn't matter to me who wins. If it's Riverside or if it's Raines, you win tonight, your season has been an unbelievable success. Everything else at this point would be gravy or the hot fudge on top of the ice cream, whatever you want to say. And if Riverside does it again, if they go into Jackson last week and win and follow that up with a win tonight at the graveyard, man, Antoine Nicholas, my goodness, you would start talking about him for maybe coach of the year.
We'll keep you updated on this one just now into the first quarter. Raines and Riverside in round two of the playoffs. A couple more games before we finish things out tonight. Bowles is hosting Bishop Moore. Bishop Moore was the team from Orlando that beat Bishop Kenny last week. A little bit of an upset in round one. Bowles is hosting this one tonight at 7:30. You'll hear that one on 92.5 FM and the FM stream.
I would like to think Bowles is the favorite. I believe Bowles is probably the favorite. Having said that, we listened to every Bishop Kenny game. I went out and met with Bishop Kenny for Hackers High School football tour. They were ridiculously good. They were 8-2 on the year because the regular season finale against University Christian didn't mean all that much. And even that game was a competitive ball game. Bishop Moore comes in last week and beats him by 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That was eye-opening. Just how good is this Bishop Moore team from Orlando? They're obviously good enough to come in and beat Bishop Kenny by 21. And I'm sure that got Bowles' attention a Bulls team that could not beat Bishop Kenny a couple of weeks ago. So even though a lot of people, like myself, admittedly think Bulls is the favorite, be very, very careful, because this Bishop Moore team proved last week that they are very, very good.
Yeah, they beat Bishop Kenny by 21 points on their home field last week. And like you said very well, it was a very much an eye-opening victory for Bishop Moore. Again, let's remind folks that Bulls football coming up at 7:30. You can hear this one on 92.5 FM and the FM stream if you're tuning in. And you hear Florida basketball, Florida, Florida State. That's a big one on the hardwood tonight. The Noles and the Gators are playing on 1010 AM and the AM stream also at 7:30 tonight. But Bulls football coming up on 92.5 FM as they host Bishop Moore from Orlando in round two of the playoffs. Possibly the best team in the area, Trinity Christian. They had a bye last week. They went 10-0 in the regular season. They welcome in Orlando Christian Prep tonight at 7:30.
Yeah, this Orlando Christian Prep team, I've done a little bit of homework on them. They're good. And they've given Trinity at least some issues in the past. Having said that, this Trinity team is really good at 10-0. And now all the conversation, right? Verlin Dormany 4 wins away from tying Corky Rogers with 10 state championships. That's going to be the talking point moving forward as long as Trinity keeps winning. I would expect, Gibby, that Trinity wins tonight. Although, again, this is an Orlando team that Trinity has seen in the past and that Trinity has had some problems with in the past. But if Trinity plays their game, I would think they should pull it out.
Colin Hurley, the Trinity quarterback, a couple weeks ago, committed to LSU. That's a big one for Trinity and for Colin.
Oh, no question. Big one for them. Brian Kelly, and two,
yeah,
coming in here to get a quarterback like Colin Hurley. So, yeah, congrats to him. Congrats to LSU for getting a player like that. And Colin Hurley, what he did last year in taking Trinity to a state championship was unreal. And obviously he has a tall, tall order ahead of him to try to repeat that this year.
One final game we'll actually get to. First Academy is at University Christian tonight. That's our final game on the round two schedule. UC had a bye last week. They went 9-1 in the regular season. First Academy, they were 8-2 in the regular season.
UC went 9-1, and their one loss was by a touchdown to Trinity Christian, who's 10-0.
Yeah.
So that goes to show you how good David Penland has his football team playing. They enjoyed that bye week last week to get a little rested. We hope we see Trinity and University next week in what would be an unbelievable state playoff matchup, but it takes two wins tonight, one by Trinity, one by University, to get there. Like you said, you play an 8-2 football team when you're 9-1. Look, records don't mean anything anymore. It's win or go home. So you hope University is rested. They're ready. They've played very well this year. Hopefully that continues. Hopefully they advance to set up what would be a great matchup with Trinity Christian.
University Christian hosting First Academy. You know, I did the UC Bishop Kenny game a couple weeks ago. Desirio Riles and Oral Gray, both for UC, are two of the best players in the area, if not the state. And I would expect that UC would go on a pretty good run here after having a first-round bye. We'll see if they can get past First Academy tonight. That's all the time we're going to have tonight. We had a loaded schedule talking about the first round and the second round of the playoffs. Hack, I really appreciate all your help all year long, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Gibby, you do a terrific job with this show, man. It's even better than it was last year, and I thought it was unbelievable last year. Keep doing your thing, and we'll talk to you tonight under the Friday Night Lights.
Looking forward to it. We'll break down all the round two matchups of the playoffs coming up later tonight. There he goes, Ryan the Hacker Green, with us every Friday during the high school football season on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. When we come back, we'll have Tony Smith for just a few moments before he gets ready to call the Bulls football game as they will host Bishop Moore from Orlando. That's next. Tony Smith talking Bulls football on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hour two of Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night is underway. I'm your host, Andrew Gibson. Great to have you along with us. We are following the 6:30 games, two games ongoing right now. Rain 6 and Riverside nothing at last check in the first quarter. It's right now Baldwin 7, Baker County nothing. In the waning moments of the first quarter, we'll keep you updated as we move along here tonight. In just a few moments, we're going to be joined by Tony Smith from the Bowl School as the Bulls Bulldogs continue their playoff run in the second round. They will host Bishop Moore coming up later tonight at 7:30. You will hear that broadcast right here on 92.5 FM and the FM stream. But right now, let's welcome in on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, the head coach of the Trinity Christian Conquerors. They were off last week, and they completed a 10-0 regular season, unbeaten this year. Verlin Dormady, the head coach of Trinity Christian, joining us now. Coach, let's start right there. 10-0 in the regular season. I mean, tell us about that. That's got to be pretty awesome for you guys.
You know, it really is. You don't think about it, I guess, until it's over. But because you're so focused on week to week, the kids really did a great job. You know, they stayed focused throughout the year and handled it a week at a time. And they had a pretty daunting schedule because, you know, we played some pretty good football teams. Ned White and Rains and University Christian and, gosh, Riverside was a good football game. But, you know, they just they did a really good job. They played hard. And we lost a quarterback for a few weeks there and was able to maintain and get things done. We needed to get done. So I'm really proud of the kids.
Coach, you mentioned your quarterback had an injury to deal with earlier in the season. We'll get to LSU in a few minutes, but how is your quarterback, Colin Hurley, doing?
Colin's doing great. You know, he played this past Friday night and got back on track. And just we're glad to have him back for this run in the playoffs.
What was he dealing with? What was his injury?
He had a fracture in his wrist. He had a hairline fracture, and he fell on it in the Riverside game. And he came to the sideline and thought he just sprained it. It was his non-throwing hand, so got it taped up, went and got an X-ray on Monday, and there was a hairline fracture in there. So he was out for about 4 weeks. But, yeah, we're glad he's back.
Healthy and ready to go for this playoff run?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Very good. We're glad to hear that, Coach. Well, your quarterback, Colin Hurley, just committed a few weeks ago to LSU. What a great opportunity that is for Colin, Coach.
You know what? It's huge for Colin because, you know, he's always been in homeschool. And so he was able to reclass, and he'll graduate a year early. So he'll go into college pretty young. But for him, you know, he's an old soul in a 15-year-old body. So he'll be okay. Very athletic, has all the tools, can make all the throws. You know, he's a physical kid, very intellectual, has a incredible GPA. So, I mean, he'll be fine, you know. We're excited for him because that's where he thought he fit the best. That's where he thought he meshed with the coaches the best. And so he's just excited about, you know, finishing this year, getting next year under the belt, and then going playing college football.
Verlin Dormady, the head coach of Trinity Christian, joining us on the Farrah and Farrah phone line here on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday night. I would imagine a talent like Colin has had coaches banging down your door.
Well, we did, but, you know, he was young. So a lot of recruiting for him was him calling the schools and him visiting the schools and him being on their campus because they really couldn't come here and contact him. So the biggest part for him was really done with him and his dad. I really didn't have a large part in it. I mean, I would talk to the coaches about him when they called me or when they dropped by to see me. But it wasn't like he waited till, you know, the middle of his junior year to make a decision. You know, it was made pretty early for him. So the limitations in contact with him and colleges were pretty not as slim. They didn't do a lot of it through me. So we're proud of him, and we're glad he made that decision.
So help us understand that rule, Coach. If he's 14, 15, coaches can't come visit him. Is that right?
Correct. A lot of everything that Colin did was in camps in the summer,
okay.
In one-day camp. So he spent his 9th and 10th grade seasons or after the seasons visiting schools and being in their camps. And they were able to evaluate him, look at him, talk to him because he went to their campus.
Okay.
So that's where he got to. I mean, he had a ton of offers, of course. But to be able to be evaluated, he had to be on their campus for that to happen. So that's where most of his recruitment came from.
One final thought on Colin, and we'll get to your game tonight against Orlando Christian Prep. So he commits to LSU. Have you had any conversations with their head coach, Brian Kelly, throughout this recruitment process?
I have not. I've only talked to their quarterback coach.
Okay, good stuff. You know, Colin's such a nice kid. Very happy for him and this opportunity committing to LSU a few weeks back. You know, Coach, you guys are just now coming off a bye week. You host Orlando Christian Prep tonight. What do you focus on during a bye week to prepare for a playoff game like you have tonight?
You know, a lot of things we do is just go back to the fundamentals and work on technique. We got to add a few things because of just having this week off, just in our offensive game plan, some things that we haven't got to yet. So that will help us, you know, down the road. But it's just really getting back to the basics and fundamentals. And we've been doing some one-on-one stuff, and just keep our kids focused and motivated.
Coach, give us a little bit of a scouting report on Orlando Christian Prep. What do you know about them? What do you expect tonight?
They're very, very talented. We played them in the semifinals last year. And for us to get them in the first round, it's scary because we scored late to win that ball game against them. And we stopped them inside our five on four plays. And I think we were up by – we might have been up by one, and then Webb broke like a 99-yard touchdown on them in the fourth quarter. So they've got some very, very they're an athletic quarterback number two and running back number one. They got a receiver, safety. I know I talked to Coach Ross about he had called me the other day, and he said they were recruiting the quarterback, but he's for an athlete because at Florida State. So, I mean, they've got kids that can play, and they're all back from last year. So I know they've got this circled on their calendar to play us again.
Coach, you guys just finished off an unbeaten 10-0 regular season. At this time of year, you want to be playing your best. Do you feel like Trinity Christian is playing its best football right now?
You know what? I don't think we have played our best yet. You know, there's three components of the football game. We had a great special teams game last week. We had two block punts and a punt return for a touchdown, but we gave up a punt return for a touchdown. You know, but I think our offense is getting better now that we got Bushy back and having the to be able to run the offense with him and throwing the football and back in the run game. You know, I think we're getting better there. Defensively, I think we've gotten better all year long. I think our kids are really doing a good job pursuing the football and tackling better. So a lot of that is, you know, hopefully you don't play your best early. You hope you keep getting better week after week after week and then play your best in the playoffs. And hopefully that's going to happen.
All right, Coach, this is a big storyline that we're all following. You are going for state championship number 10. That is just incredible stuff. How much do you think about that, if at all? It's a big opportunity for you and your team going forward here in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? There's probably not a lot of thought put into it because in order to win the 10th state championship, you've got to get there. And there's a lot in between now and getting there. And so, we're just going to try to focus on winning this first one and then and see what happens. But, it's huge for the school and for us, but there's not a lot of thought. There's a lot of thought in going into winning and trying to beat Orlando Christian Prep Friday night.
Yeah, that's true. You got to win the first one to even think about getting to the final game for sure. Coach Verlin Dormany with us on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. Final moment here with you, Coach. All right, this is your first foray into this new FHSAA model, Metro Suburban. It's different now. This is your first chance to play in it now that the playoff structure is different. You've coached in this thing a long time. What do you think about it?
Well, do you have a true champion? Do you have a true state champion? You know, you have a Metro state champion, you have a Suburban state champion, but they're not going to play each other. So who's the best? That's my thinking. If you're going to be a state champion, play the best teams in the state, you know, and then you can call yourself a state champion. So that kind of sums it up. I'm not a real fan of it, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, look, I appreciate your honesty on that, and I think a lot of coaches agree with you. I think a lot of parents and maybe some of the players might agree with that as well. You know, we had 1A and 2A and 3A for so long. It's definitely a different shift now.
Yeah, you got a 1M and a 1R and a 1S.
Right.
What does that tell you? Who's the state champion? You know, makes no sense to me.
I would tend to agree with you, Coach. I really would. I think we're going to have more questions than we have answers at the end of this. We'll see if the FHSAA shifts any of this moving forward. Coach, what is your message to your football team as they get ready to play Orlando Christian Prep tonight?
I think the biggest thing you have to get across to kids is football is a game that you have to stay locked in and focused on. You only get one a week. It's not like basketball or baseball where you can play three games in a week. You lose on Monday night and you get to play again on Tuesday. You know, you get one a week, and now it's to the situation of where, hey, if you don't win Friday night, it's over. You know, the season was great. You went 10-0, that's good. Put that behind you because it doesn't matter anymore. And you got to stay locked in. You got to get better every day in practice. You got to work on your technique and fundamental. And we try to have practices that really test and push these kids' limits. At some point during the practice, we are our ones offensively on the defensive ones. And, you know, let's get better. Let's see what we got. You know, a lot of guys don't do that because it risks injury, but I think it makes our kids mentally and physically tougher.
I love it. I love that message, Coach. Very well said. Really wish you the best of luck tonight in round one of the playoffs for Trinity Christian. Go win a 10th state championship. We appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much to Verlin Dormey, the head coach of Trinity Christian. In about 15 minutes or so, they will kick things off tonight as they had a first-round bye last week. Orlando Christian Prep comes to Trinity Christian tonight. Verlin Dormey, as we mentioned there with him, he's going for state championship number 10 if he's able to do it this season. Coming up next, we'll check in with Tony Smith, a quick preview of the Bulls football game. That'll be coming up tonight on 92.5 FM. They will host Bishop Moore from Orlando. A quick conversation ahead of tonight's game with Tony Smith coming up next on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday Night. Our final segment of JOI Football Friday Night. Round two of the playoffs underway. A couple scores for you in the early stages. Right now, Reigns on top of Riverside 6-0. That one still in the first quarter, probably getting close to the second quarter by now. At the second quarter water break, it's Baldwin 7 and Baker County 0. Bartram Trail leads Creekside in a St. John's County clash, 7-0 in the first quarter. We'll keep you updated on all the scores as we move along tonight. Right now, let's say hello to our friend Tony Smith. He is live tonight from the Bulls School as the Bulldogs get ready to host round two of the playoffs against Bishop Moore. Tony, good evening.
Gibby, what's going on tonight, bud?
Man, I'm just all excited about all this round two playoff action. You know, Tony, the place where I want to start with you first is you actually got to call last week's game, Bishop Kenny and Bishop Moore.
Yeah.
That game surprised a lot of people, just the way that Bishop Moore was able to go to BK and do that, win that game. How did they do it?
They really, in the first half of the game, Bishop Kenny intercepted the quarterback, Riley Willis, three times in the first half of that game. But still, Bishop Moore took a 7-0 lead into the halftime locker room. In the second half of the game, about halfway through the third quarter, with the game at 7-7, Bishop Moore found something with their run game. And from that point forward, they didn't throw the ball again in the game last week. Scored three touchdowns on back-to-back-to-back possessions. Won the game 28-7, which I think is a sign of a pretty well-coached team that once they found something, they did not go away from it. Pulled away from Bishop Kenny there late in the second half. Got the 28-7 road win. And we'll see him tonight in what I expect to be a really, really good game after seeing what this Bishop Moore team is last week.
Tony, what stands out about Bishop Moore? You got to see him play last week. What are their strengths? What are maybe some areas that you think Bulls could capitalize on tonight?
Yeah, I think quarterback Riley Willis is a big strength for this football team. He's accounted for 26 touchdowns for Bishop Moore this year. He's a threat as a thrower and a runner from the quarterback position, so that'll certainly be priority number one for the Bulls defense, is trying to find a way to slow him down in this game tonight. We'll see if that run game is still as hot as it was in the second half of that Kenny game last week. I would expect tonight as well that they would test that out against this Bulls defense. And look, we've seen that Kenny team. You've heard them on the air here on 1010XL all season long. They got a really good offense, and they got shut down by this Bishop Moore defense. They could barely move the ball for first downs in the first half of that game last week. So I'm curious to see how Bowles wants to try to match up against them. It's hard to grab onto exactly what Bowles is at this point in the season, because they've been willing to be a team that's going to throw it 20 times on a Friday night. They've been willing to be the team that's going to run it 40 times on this Friday night. And they haven't really found that lone identity of which of those things are going to be week to week. So maybe that makes it difficult for Bishop Moore to figure out exactly how they want to attack this Bowles offense, but they were really good defensively last week. Let's see if that can carry over into a tough matchup for them tonight, obviously, against this Bowles offense.
Tony Smith with us on Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday night. He's got the Bowles broadcast tonight as they host Bishop Moore. The Hornets come back to Jacksonville after winning a week ago against Bishop Kenny. Tony, Bowles did play last week. They beat Episcopal, a regular season rematch, 38-6. Bowles, a pretty good victory for them in round one.
Yeah, they got the lead early. Caleb Lampkins almost returned the opening kick for a touchdown last week in the game. He had three returns that almost went for touchdowns in the game last week. The kicker got him twice. I'm sure his teammates didn't hassle him at all about that as they went through the week this week. But they get the 38-6 victory for the second time this year. They handled that Episcopal team pretty handily. Tonight is a different kind of test against this Bishop Moore team. And having seen them last week, I'm telling you, Gibby, I expect this to be a fourth-quarter football game tonight between Bowles and Bishop Moore.
Can't wait to find out. The game's coming up in just under 10 minutes from now, 7:30 kickoff over there at the Bowles School, Skinner Barco Stadium. You know, Tony, to me, just looking at it from afar, it feels like to me that Bowles got, like, in an extra gear after the Buchholz game. They beat Gainesville Buchholz, a really good team, who I think at the time was, like, 7-1. 49-28, a huge win for Bowles. Did that kind of trigger something with Bowles? Because they've been playing outstanding football ever since.
They have. And I think it found a new level of confidence in their pass game is what they found against Buchholz. They came out throwing with DJ Moore early on in that game against Buchholz. And then, you know, they were able to pull away in that game against Buchholz. And it does feel like offensively they have found some kind of momentum since that game, and certainly it carried over into last week against Episcopal, and we'll see if it carries over in tonight's game against Bishop Moore.
All right, Tony Smith, he has the call alongside Chris Verlander tonight, 7:30 kickoff, Bowles hosting Bishop Moore in the second round of the playoffs. Tony, have a great call tonight.
Thank you, Gibby.
There he goes, Tony Smith. You'll hear him momentarily alongside Chris Verlander for the call of tonight's game. The Bowles Bulldogs, we just talked about it there with Tony. It just feels like they've been a different team ever since they beat Gainesville Buchholz on November 4th, 49-28. Remember, the week before that was the week that they lost to Bishop Kenny, 14-13, a huge game for Bishop Kenny. And Bowles has not lost since they lost to Bishop Kenny back in late October, the 28th of October. So we'll see if Bowles can continue this terrific run that they're on right now, beating Episcopal last week, 38-6 in round one. Tonight, they've got Bishop Moore trying to come into Jacksonville for a second consecutive week and come away with a victory. It's Bowles and Bishop Moore coming up at 7:30 on 92.5 FM and our FM stream. Also, if you're tuning in and you hear Gator basketball, the Florida Gators and the Florida State Seminoles, they meet tonight on the hardwood. Tip off later tonight, 8 o'clock, but our coverage will begin at 7:30 on 1010 AM and the 1010 XL app. That's going to wrap things up for Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Football Friday night. I want to thank all of our guests that we had on the program tonight. Creekside head coach Sean McIntyre joined us in the first segment. Ryan the Hacker Green, he joined me for a couple of segments talking about the playoffs last week and this week. Also, Verlin Dormany, the head coach of Trinity Christian, they're getting ready to host a playoff game tonight against Orlando Christian Prep. And then moments ago, Tony Smith joined us as well to talk about Bowles football, which comes up at 7:30. I want to leave you with this comment from our interview with Verlin Dormany. His message to the guys going into the playoff game tonight: Trinity went 10-0 in the regular season. They had a bye last week, and they're hosting a home playoff game tonight at 7:30. What's the message from Coach Verlin Dormany inside that Conqueror's huddle tonight? We'll leave you with that. And have a great football weekend, everybody. Andrew Gibson saying so long.
I think the biggest thing you have to get across to kids is football is a game that you have to stay locked in and focused on. You only get one a week. It's not like basketball, baseball, where you can play three games in a week. You lose on Monday night and you get to play again on Tuesday. You get one a week, and now it's to the situation of where, hey, if you don't win Friday night, it's over. You know, the season was great. You went 10-0, that's good. Put that behind you, because it doesn't matter anymore.
When I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass, I'm back in my helmet, cleats, and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.